This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, what's the number?
1-800-919-3776. Get on the lines early and often. Kershaw changing the narrative.
Are we going buffet? Oh, the bell is ringing. Buffet, get in line. Again, 800-919-3776. And what about the social media stuff?
If you can't get us on the lines because they just packed up, then you can go ahead and catch us on the Bart and Han on the tweet. If you can't get us on the tweet, DM Allen exclusively.
Don't DM me.
Your navel pics at Bart and Han. And then if you can't get us there, Bill, tell them where they find us at, man.
Snapface, instant chat, or whatever.
Anywhere.
And listen, the Snapchat interface is going to be available on the new iPhone 12. I heard it. Specifically, yes. Just for our show.
Yes. Those the apps for sure. You worked this morning. A little KJZ action. You and Keyshawn.
Yeah, I got no life.
You guys had Zubin like on his toes.
I understand now why Zubin.
And by the way, there was some sniper fire going on there too.
Yeah. I think
you calling out the Dallas Cowboys. You said they're soft. Teams you played against, he said Dallas has always been soft.
They're front runners. What happens is they get credit and they get credibility and they get fame for being an average organization over the last 25 years, but because they have that star, it carries power. And it's like almost like
their
Dallas.
Brand.
Yeah, it's like Dallas and that brand is its own country, right? So as long as they're in Texas, they think that everybody respects them because they get patted on the back. They, you know, I'm sure they get tables, get drinks sent to them. But outside of that, we look at them like a joke because every year we have the same discussion. This is the year for the Cowboys.
Let me ask you this. The Cowboys are the richest franchise in U.S. in U.S. sports.
Yep.
Right? The Yankees are there with them as well. The Lakers, but the Knicks are there with them as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say the Cowboys are closer to the Knicks than they are the Yankees?
I absolutely would say that. I mean, come on.
How much closer? Like, would you say if the Knicks were 1 and the Yankees were 10, what number would the Cowboys be?
So, I mean, 50 would be in the middle, right? So, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 5 would be the middle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but I'm using percent.
Yeah.
So, 50, you know, 5 would be in the middle. I would say they're like 3.5. They're 3.5. Like, you can't count on them. You can't depend on them.
It's
like, no matter who the hell quarterback is, you can look at the Steelers and say, yo, Steelers got a chance. Like, yeah, Ben's hurt. No matter. They still could get to the playoffs. In a tougher division.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's something going on with their coach that we'll talk about. That actually relates to the Jets.
Yep.
We'll get to that in a little bit. Again, the call's 800-919-3776. But last night, Dodgers get the win in Game 1 of the World Series, 8-3. And it's amazing to think, as you're watching this game, and Clayton Kershaw did give up a home run, but didn't have to get in his car and chase it down. So that's good news at the commercial. But what you saw was Mookie Betts. And you see Mookie Betts not just hit a home run, stealing two bases, just he's the action. I mean, he was everything. 2-for-4, had the home run, like I said, but just he provided all the action. And it's what they say. This is why the Dodgers traded for him.
Yep.
He's that type of player. He has an impact on the game, and it's beyond what a pitcher can do.
Right.
A guy like Kershaw obviously pitched, and for him, especially in a big spot, he pitched out of his mind. And Glasnow did not pitch well. So Kershaw pitched great, but Betts is the story. And Bart, it makes you go now to the Steve Cohen stuff, which we continue to be reminded of, as now the owner's committee has approved the ownership change to him. They still have to get all of the owners to vote and make it official. But, I mean, it was as close to official as you possibly can. And as you're watching this and you see that the Dodgers were like, oh, you want us to take David Price too? Yeah, okay, sure, whatever. Whatever it takes to get this guy, we need this guy. We need Mookie Betts. So they took on the David Price contract. He ain't even playing for them. He opted out. Did you even notice that? Has anybody said, oh my God, if only the Dodgers had David Price?
And imagine if David Price was pitching against Snell. Like, at least you have somebody that you know. And it's crazy that they were willing to take that and take that bad contract because he hadn't performed in Boston and had wore out his welcome, but they was willing to eat that. And that's what I'm saying. And what did we eat? We ate the Robinson Cano deal, you know, so that we can get Edwin Diaz. And how's that
work? But think about it. So when the Red Sox, which is the other thing, like, it's amazing to think that they were like, yeah, we're just going to move on from Mookie Betts. Like, it's just incredible that they would do that.
But the J.D.
But
Davis,
when they made him available, the Mets were involved. You know, the Mets wanted to make the deal. At least they tried to make the deal. But, you know, the reported what they offered was like a Brandon Nimmo, J.D. Davis type, you know, a top prospect. And then on top of it, because they didn't want to take on his salary, remember, he also wanted the extension that the Dodgers gladly gave him.
Right.
The Mets were like, you might have to take, like, Cespedes and Jed Lowry off our hands because that's a big, you know, we don't want that. And the Red Sox are like, no, we're not doing that.
We ain't
like,
taking not even nothing. We're giving you a player.
Exactly.
Maybe
we're giving you
a superstar.
Right. This guy will be in your franchise for the next 8 years. He'll be in the Hall of Fame, and maybe he'll put our cap on, but maybe he'll put your cap on. You have no idea. Like, he will be a legend in New York if you just make this trade. And the Wilpons were like, nah, you're going to have to take Cespedes. And the Dodgers are like, we're not going to have to give you anything. But if you need us to take David Price, we'll do it because it's worth it to us. And this is where, again, you bring it back to this. That can never happen again in Mets history. That can never happen again. A guy like that does not. That's a Haley's Comet. Players like that in baseball never become available like that to you until they hit the market at free agency, and then you're going to pay a boatload for a player. But if you can get a guy like that and get him under control, get him under contract,
get him in your building,
100% you do it. And they didn't because we all know the old refrain, the Wilpons are cheap. They didn't want to do it.
ATM, right? They didn't
that can't
it.
Ever bar. That can't ever happen again. And Steve Cohen is supposed to be the answer to all those problems. He's supposed to make sure that never happens again for the Mets. But that's it's just watching that game.
It's depressing.
It's one
right?
more reminder of what the Mets have been with the Wilpons. You could have had that player. You could have. And you went cheap.
If they would have
didn't get him,
if they could have got the deal done earlier, it would have been a chance. If they could have got the deal done, if they could have, you know, didn't have the hiccup as pulling the offer off the table,
right.
They could have had the opportunity to get it done because they knew they would have been able to go to the vault and not the ATM. And now, you know, we have to watch once again as a reminder, you know, that this is what happens and this is what it should have could have country. Now we got it going on. Like it's like New York fans live Groundhog's Day every day. Because, okay, we're dealing with this right now. We're dealing with the reports of Chris Paul saying he wants to go to L.A.
We'll get to that in noon.
So it's just a continual cycle. And who's going to break that cycle? It's going to have to be a guy like Cohen because you know that the Mets doesn't have the same narrative of the Knicks. The Knicks got the money. They'll spend the money. They
willingly.
Just can't. But people won't come. The Mets had people willing to come, but they ain't had the money.
Yeah.
So like that, now, maybe they got the money. They'll get people to come, and they'll be able to get players here because the New York market is a beautiful market to be in. But also,
is it though?
If you like, can
again,
if you
what
can handle
everything
it.
That comes with it. But that's why you trade.
Think
that's
Gerrit
why
Cole ain't happy?
If you could trade for a player, that's what you do. You have to if you're a franchise like the Mets and they just didn't do it. And again, we're not going to harp on what they didn't do because we know why. All right. It's now that Cohen is there. And I found this also to be interesting, Bart. Do you read into it at all that on the Major League Baseball's ownership committee that voted to approve him as the next owner, of the 8 votes, he got 7, meaning it wasn't unanimous. Is there anything to be concerned of about that? That one owner on that committee said no.
Yep.
To Steve Cohen. And we know he had a bit of a reputation. You know, there's a little concern about that from some owners. But why, if you're an owner in Major League Baseball, would you not welcome in a guy that's worth $15 billion?
That's why.
That will now inject life into a major market team for you?
That's why. Because
you don't want competition?
That's competition. That's an unfair advantage for them, right? That's an unfair advantage. It's like one team being able to have 10 practices and you able to have 5. Because he can double you up and he can compete for every free agent that you want. and he can overpay. People don't like that. People listen. We experience this on a different level, right? Our friends are our friends, but as soon as we decide to ascend and try and create distance between us, that's when the relationship gets all choppy, right? That's when things get weird, right? But as long as you're kind of on the same level,
you're getting all big. It's all good for me.
So now you're thinking like, okay, these billionaires all feel good about themselves. They all relatively worth around the same thing. Then you bring a multi-billionaire, and it's like create separation, and you start feeling bad about yourself. You know, you thought you was a baller, but now he's, you know, it's like Biggie. Thought he worked his until I handle my biz. You know what I mean? And what's mm-hmm. happening is, you know, they don't want somebody to come in that can compete and force them to have to spend more money because it hurts their bottom line more than it will hurt his bottom line because he has the money to burn.
Now, the next up is you have now the full ownership group that now has to vote, right? And you basically need 23 out of 30 to approve the ownership. Now, I told you, 7 of the 8 on the ownership committee did approve. There's also, by the way, an 8-owner executive committee. I mean, this is like layers upon layers to get this done.
It's just like picking the next pope. Are they going to burn some white smoke? We were looking for the white smoke.
I mean, if you're a Mets fan, how excruciating has this been for you? Is waiting for this to become officially official? Ownership committee, all right, 7 out of 8. So one guy said no. Now you have 8 owner committee for the executive committee that have to approve. Is it a different 8 people now? So that's what makes it strange. So you have 8. Now you have another 8, and then you have the full ownership group. So technically, if it's 8 different people, that's 16 of the 30 owners have already voted. They're going to vote again, and they've got to get 23 out of 30. Now, technically, because the Mets are the Mets going to put in a vote on this thing?
No.
So it's 22 out of 29.
Right. They're going to vote no.
But it's just amazing to me the different layers here. But once they finally get through all that, and I mean, what's taken so long? Okay, this group voted today. Can tomorrow somebody else vote, or do we have to wait a week for this? You don't need to be together. Just put your vote in. Let's go. Let's move this thing along. Because there's business to get to once the World Series is over. And I think that business, as we know, Sandy Alderson is already coming in as his president. He's bringing him in as right-hand man. We've already seen reports that he's going to revamp the analytics department, or I should say maybe instead of revamp, he's going to vamp it because there is no analytics department. It's a guy with a Commodore 64, apparently. So they're going
Floppy
to put... He's going to invest a lot into the analytics department, which you should do. But then what? Who's the GM going to be? I find that to me, Sandy's not going to be the GM. You need to bring in somebody that, again, I've always said this. There is no salary cap, and there should be no budget on the infrastructure of your franchise.
So you're saying, absolutely, you're saying go to Cleveland? You saying go to Cleveland, go get him?
Cleveland. Are you talking about Chernoff?
Yeah, Chernoff's son.
And Chernoff could be the guy. It's a local guy, obviously, and he grew up there. I was thinking Stearns. Stearns is a New York guy or kid. He's 35. Young, brilliant, went to Harvard. He's got to be smart.
Oh, analytics.
Mets. I mean, he grew up a Met fan. He interned under Minaya, didn't he?
Bring him back home.
Is somebody that's got, you got, I'm all about blood in the ground. You know that. I bring that up all the time. David Stearns would sort of be, like, did he orchestrate the Yelich deal? He had to have, right? That only happened, 2 years ago. He had to have been, his hands were all over that. And I just feel like this. If the Brewers are like, no, like, well, all right, what's it going to cost? Like, I want the best and the brightest, and I have a blank check. I will bring you in here, and I will pay whatever it takes to get the best. Who is the best? And if you tell me, well, they should go after Brian Cashman. No. The Mets shouldn't do that for one reason, because it's the old Met way of chasing after whatever the Yankees are doing. That's out. Like, I wouldn't do that. I would get a guy with blood in the ground. And David Stearns has blood in the ground. I mean, I don't, Chernoff is a local guy, and obviously his connection. But I feel like Stearns would be a guy that would catch your attention, wouldn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
35, young and bright, done a great job in Milwaukee with not a huge budget. And
you want somebody that's going to be around for a while. You want somebody that can make some decisions, that's going to be around, that's still close enough to the transition of where the game is going with the analytics and being able to build a team and a squad. Listen, we saw that the first thing that he did was
Podesta. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
I got names like just popping in my head as I'm thinking about different. And I got another crazy one for you. You got to finish your thought.
No. I'm with you. You want somebody that can take the organization to the next level, but be a bridge from the old to the new school. You don't want to go somebody that's strictly analytics, but you want somebody.
Sandy's more of the old school. He's more of the, you know, he's going to be more of the guy that kind of gets everything organized properly, so probably do some of the things he wanted to do and
from
couldn't.
The gut. He can go from the gut, too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have an element of gut, but you want to have an element of, okay, this is a new way to look at things. Because when you look at what Tampa's doing, it's amazing. I think if they win, what's at stake for this World Series is the fact that fracking will take place. The fact that people will start saying, let's try and build our championship that way. That's the way to do it. The Dodgers represent the old school. You just said it. Give me David Price. We don't care how much it costs. We'll spend. But they've been in World
Series. Dodgers do all that. The Dodgers are all in on analytics. No one does more than they do.
But they're both, though. Right? They're both.
Well, the way they won yesterday's game. How about the way they won yesterday's game? Did we see a million home runs? It was all like get on base, how about stealing bases, double steal, like it was. I wouldn't call it small ball; I'd call it baseball.
Yeah, because you know
the Dodgers. I know I was. You weren't here yesterday, but I was dumping all over baseball.
Yep.
I was, because it's not the game I grew up with, and I have a hard time with it sometimes. I don't find the Rays all that compelling, even though everybody's trying to tell me about Rosarena and everybody else, and how do you not get compelled by this team? I don't, mainly because they're not likable. Blake Snell is a punchable face. I think Glasnow's fun to watch as a pitcher, but, you know, it's a pitcher.
He reminds me of Syndergaard, man.
Who does?
Glasnow.
Glasnow?
Because he's just a hard pitcher, man. He needs to get a third pitch, just like Syndergaard.
Oh, I see. You mean style-wise.
Yeah, style-wise. The way they go about the approaching, like, throwing the ball. Were you thinking Morton more like a DeGrom, like a guy that's more of a thinker? You know what I mean? A lot of movement, a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think
Morton's going to be an X factor in this series.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
he's going to be an X factor.
But that's a compelling story, right? Because I feel like people will start saying, you know what, we need to be more aware and in tune about who we're signing, not just the name that we're signing. That's what the Rays represent. The very few markets can do what the Dodgers can do. Be all in on analytics, but be all in on spending as well because of the budget they have. Could you imagine their local radio deal and TV deal that they have? You know, they have money to burn. They're probably printing money. And they've been in this window for like 4 or 5 years now.
Who's printing money?
The Dodgers.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is they can be all in on both sides, right? They're kind of
They've
like,
always been. No, but that's the thing. The Dodgers and the Yankees have been those big spending teams, and the Dodgers have been on knocking on the door.
They've
been winning divisions left and right. I believe it's 8 years they've won a division. Like this is the year for them to get it done. There's no question. But I just felt the game yesterday was more entertaining because of the fact that there was activity and action on the base paths.
Right.
And yet you still
bases.
Also got good pitching. It's not like you had terrible pitching.
Yeah.
You know, Glasnow struggled a bit. But anyways, I felt like that. So they are hot. They are deep into analytics, but yet we did see some gut stuff, and we'll talk about that when we do Blitzer Prevent, because I do see there's a difference in baseball when it comes to regular season and playoffs that I really want the Yankees to pay attention to, because you're seeing it front and center right now. But again, the real question was about the Mets, because I can't help but watch Mookie Betts and think to myself, now I'm a New York guy. Like, I'm a Yankees fan, but I'm all about New York. It's good for our business when the teams are good. When the teams suck, you might think, oh, it's good because it gives you guys something to rant about. It's not true. People are letting go. You let go of the rope when your team sucks for as long as some of these teams have sucked here in New York. You want them to see good. So there's Mookie Betts. He could be a star here in New York. He wasn't, and now he's in the World Series for the Dodgers. And I just kept saying to myself, man, Steve Cohen comes in here. That can never happen again. Never, ever be outbid by anyone else, especially because you got cheap and demanded that the team looking to dump a salary that didn't want to pay someone, you're like, yeah, gonna need you to take this contract though. I mean, they must have been like, are you out of your mind?
Like,
why would we take Cespedes from you, dummy? Like, that's just a diet, just mind boggling. So Cohen eventually is going to get, unless Jerry Reinsdorf gets what he wants and blocks him, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Let's go A-Rod.
But if you, maybe that's what they're trying to do. But if you have Cohen in place, you get Alderson in place, you already know he's going to be there. The GM is going to be your next significant, most important hire. Who should it be? I'm feeling like David Stearns is the guy. You got a young guy with blood in the ground, and you got a guy that's had some success. He's smart. He's from New York. He was an intern here with the Mets. He wanted to continue to grow. They let him go, and he's become a bit of a superstar now in Milwaukee. Who else could be out there? You want a wild card name?
Yes.
Jeff Luhnow. You know, A-Rod talked to him.
So A-Rod, he was his general manager. But
A-Rod, I don't know if he was he said he was talking to him for advice, but you know, and Cohen is the, you know, I don't think Cohen would go that direction mainly because of the A-Rod, there's that A-Rod connection. But the funny thing is because Cohen is a bit of like, I don't see him as that guy that's going to like stay inside the lines. Like, I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I'm going to pay whatever I need to pay. I'm not worried about everybody. I don't care what you think of me. Like, I could see him being like that because a lot of people say in his business that's how he's been. But that would be, like, doing something like that. You want to piss everybody off?
Yeah.
That's one way to do it. And, but the Luhnow connection to A-Rod might have hurt him in the long run, but we'll see. But we just heard him. He's been chirping now that the World Series are going on, saying that he had nothing to do with it. But there's a lot of options out there, but we'll see what happens. But all I know is that watching that World Series last night and watching Mookie Betts and seeing what he was doing, how entertaining he was, it just shake your head and you say, this guy should have been playing in New York if only the ownership wasn't the way they were. It starts at the top with all of our teams here, doesn't it? It always does. Our problems with the Jets start with what? Christopher Johnson, Woody Johnson, and the way they feel like the structure should be with their franchise. And it just hasn't worked. And they've got more problems now with the Jets as well. The problems have been all over the place. The Knicks have had their issues at the top as well. Constantly turning it over. Constantly changing. Putting your faith and trust into the wrong people. Changing the plan all the time. You know, yet on the Rangers side of things, it's not an issue.
Easy peasy.
So it's the most bizarre thing ever. When you think about it, it's the same owner, yet two different outcomes, two different approaches. You're seeing it everywhere. You can argue with the Giants.
And it's always amazing how, like, it's like, okay, we're going to do something different. Like, it's a reason why most successful organizations have a chain of command, and they just want to buck the system and say, no, we're going to do it like this.
Oh, God, we're smarter than you?
Yes, I hate that. I hate that. And that's what it feels like.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I mean, you know, the late, great Charles Wong, who bought the Islanders and saved that franchise. So this is not to disparage Charles, but it was early on in his ownership, and he was very defiant in the beginning. He was like just that attitude you're talking about, Bart, where he felt like he was compelled to almost prove himself because he knew he was such an outsider. He knew he looked different. He had a different background. And here he was stepping into the NHL at a time where you didn't see someone like him with his background. Right? I mean, an Asian billionaire buying an NHL team. Back then, in 2000, that was not typical in the NHL, right? So he knew it. He knew he was an outsider. And his thing about some of the ideas he had, which when he brought them up, you're like, I don't know if that's really the best way to do it, right? But he's like, when people say I can't do it, I say to them, watch me.
Double down.
That helped you make billions in business. And he's a very smart guy. But he learned quickly in sports.
Yeah.
That's not quite the way to do it.
Get the baseball guys around me.
There's too many guys that absolutely do that, though, that they all, I can't? Watch me do it. Oh, God, here we go. Like, that's what you feel like happens with a lot of these owners. So Jane Slater, who covers the NFL for NFL Network around the Cowboys a ton, tweeted this yesterday and caught a lot of people's attention. And this is, again, I always think like, you know, man, what the Jets could have done if they didn't hire Adam Gase.
Yep.
And then you read this. Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now as they sit 2-4, the discontent is leaking out.
Oh.
On the coaching staff, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly, end quote. Another, quote, they just aren't good at their jobs, end quote.
See, I take great offense to that because for years, you take out the...
It's more about the defensive coordinator than it is about McCarthy. See, but the offense was humming. The offense was like the best in the league.
Right, so the offense was going, and people know, most people that know me know that I don't like Mike Nolan because we had an altercation and, you know, I lost all kind of respect for him. But one thing I'm not going to do is say that he ain't one of the most prepared dudes in the history of football. I mean, he's a coach's son. He's a tremendous coordinator. He actually is the reason why the Ravens moved from a 4-3 to a 3-4. You know, Rex was his defensive line coach and his blitz coordinator. So a lot of the things, the switch that he made, Rex, you know, perfected it and grew it. not being prepared is I think is slander and defamation. And sometimes, like we talked about before, it was Jason Garrett. Before that, it was Wade Phillips. Mm-hmm. Before that, we always
Wade Phillips
blame,
took a beating down there too.
Right, we always blame everybody but the culture that's set forth by the ownership group. They're one of the softest teams, like I said before, when I was on
you
the
You said that on KJZ this morning, and Keyshawn took offense to it.
Because Keyshawn was one of them. Like, Keyshawn, I love you, but I was at the end of your career when you was with Dallas, they put me on you man-to-man. They was like, go get Keyshawn. Like, we don't want to waste a good player on him. Like, and I love Keyshawn. You know what I mean? But that culture and how entitled Dallas Cowboy players are, and they live in the world in that Texas bubble. They live in that Texas bubble, man. In that Texas bubble, they are the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yep.
But they don't realize that outside of that bubble, they're a joke. Name me the time when you've ever said, hey, man, you know what? This Dallas Cowboys team really exceeded expectations, man. They really, man, they shouldn't have had this type of record.
That's the best way to put it. Exceeded expectations.
Yeah. They
generally either play at what you expected, or they are below that line, like last year.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, and what did they do? Right, they folded. Right,
yeah.
You look at the record against good teams, and you're like, man, this is a fluffed up resume. Right, they always under.
Right, but you say this about them, and we see like their coaches have always been offensive minded coaches. At least the last decade or so, has been offensive minded coaches.
Well, Jason Garrett forever.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, he's been there a long time, and they bring in McCarthy, and their offense, like, do you feel like their offense has been the issue? Their offensive line, they built
the
it right.
They've had issue.
A great offensive line. They've got
they used to have a great offensive line.
Yeah, right.
Now you got Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick is hurt, Lionel Collins hasn't thrown. So now they can't salt games away. They can put up points through the air, but they can't salt games away. All of a sudden, now Zeke is seeing more people in Bolden because he's not getting to the second level without being touched. He's getting caught since he get the ball. And, like, you talk about a man that had, I think, two fumbles in his whole career. He had two in the last game. And then he had one new game before because he's getting hit because nobody respects and they're not getting the penetration or the push off the line. So what happens is now they want to start pointing their fingers. Now, listen, Mike Nolan knows what to do. I know he does because he taught me and he taught a lot of, you know, you think about the defensive minds in this league. He was one of the first people to kind of help him. He was with the Ravens. He was a receivers coach. And when he came from Washington, then he came over and he changed the Ravens. He went from the wide receivers coach and went over to the other side of the ball and became the, he switches to the 3-4. Since then, Rex has come from underneath him, right? You think about Mike Pettin came from underneath him. Chuck Pagano has come from underneath him. Some of the teams that you respect their defensive play. So don't tell me that they can't make adjustments. And don't tell me that they don't know what they're talking about. Now, you can say that he's a bad communicator. He may not create a good culture where you like him, you know, because he's really a straightforward guy. It's like no personality there, right?
No filter either.
He's like dry toast.
He and Aaron Rodgers had so many issues too because there was no appeal.
They're like dry toast. They're like dry toast, man. It's like nothing exciting about their personality. They're kind of like introverts where they don't know how to be funny around other people and make the mood right. Now, you can say that, but don't say that you don't know what to do. Like, man, with the type of defense, y'all historically bad defense. So blame Jerry Jones for making everything so cushy for them around there because they think they've achieved something. And you look up and like, bro, you haven't won a Super Bowl around here in, 25 years.
Yeah.
And you've only been in the playoffs once. Dak, as great as he is, has only won one playoff game.
And I'll tell you what, there's passion in that fan base, but they are also irrationally loyal and like to their teams, like to a, you know.
To a fault.
There is internal criticism, but they do go those fans go nuts down there. They live and breathe.
Did you see the kid in the stands crying? And his girl's having to tell him that it's going to be okay.
That was a moment.
Like, don't worry.
That was a nice moment.
You're going to get lucky tonight. I got you, baby.
Everybody, by the way, if you saw that, and I know it was all over social media, that's like you got to. That's what you do. You get a girl like that. That understands that in the moment when you're just like crushed about your team, instead of her just like, you know, looking at you like, oh, whatever, it's just its team. It's just sports. Who cares?
I understand, baby.
That she knows.
Are you kidding me? Think about what you're saying.
Listen, Dallas.
That's when you know.
Dallas can score enough points. Dallas can score enough points, but you're going to score tonight, baby. Don't even worry about it.
Phrasing.
Okay.
Maybe they didn't get to the end zone, but you will.
Okay, thank you.
Phrasing.
800-919-3776.
Give me a minute.
Let's get some calls in here, my man. Let's go with Ryan in Long Island. Been waiting a bit. Ryan?
Were you crying when
the Dallas Cowboys? This is me, Ronnie from Long Island.
Ronnie, oh, what's up, man?
Ronnie, yes. My man, Barton Hines. Bart Scott, you were my favorite Jet, man. You were the man, brother.
Appreciate
it. I wish you were still there. We would be a lot better.
I might have to submit my resume and they can let me. They can let me coach virtually as long as I can keep my show with my boy. I'm good.
There you go.
Okay, my point. Yeah. The Jets need to keep doing what they're doing, losing. Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. He's a Hall of Famer. Sam Darnold is so messed up from Gase. He'll never be a great quarterback. He might be decent, but we need to move on. Trade him for draft picks.
He can be. He's going to be Ryan Tannehill, who's by the way considered one of the top five quarterbacks in the league right now. He should be an MVP.
MVP? How about that? Like again? So say right. You're going to send Sam give me a team that would look at it. Yeah, right. Send Sam to the Colts, and then with that offensive line, just have him just start just shredding
and running game.
Meanwhile, then Trevor comes here with no talent, no skill because they didn't use the pick to get themselves any skill. No one wants to sign here. And then he's just like, again, going through the same thing. He gets knocked out in game one. We don't see him for his rookie year because Jets. That's why. Because Jets. Neil's in the Bronx. Good, Neil.
What's up, Bart? What's up, Pod? I want to get your thought on this, guys. Because you know how when Tom Brady took a pay cut so they could get guys around him so they could get to the championship and try to win another Super Bowl?
He would never take his market value because he tried to keep it flexible, and they always took care of him in other ways. I mean, he did have a TB12 location right there at the Patriot Place.
12 locations, yeah. That was a way to wash money.
I mean, I don't know if they gave him like a discount on the retail.
Man, he didn't pay no rent, man. Come on, man.
Have you ever seen that at Patriot Place? That TB12 facility is gigantic.
And they were selling it to his teammates. Come on, man.
So I'm sure they made it up to him. But yeah, he did take less, though.
With that being said, like, wouldn't it be wise if the Yankee, well, this is just a thought. I want to get your take on this, guys. If the Yankee management were approached like Aaron Judge, Stanton, Chapman, take a pay cut,
Neil,
to get another ace,
that is not happening. They don't have to take a pay cut. There's no salary cap, Neil. There's no salary cap like in football. And Aaron Judge hasn't been paid yet.
He make what, $500,000?
Cheap right now.
He's making a couple of $1,000.
Stanton? And you think Stanton's giving you money back?
Stanton might say, you know what?
Chapman's stealing money right now, if you ask me. I think he's stealing money.
Yeah, you know Stanton might say, you know what? I need some vitamin D. Y'all over here don't appreciate me. I waive my no trade clause. Let's go over to LA because it looked like they running. So I go to the Yankees of the West.
Yeah, but look, if they can move him, I think they might. But there's no Aaron Judge ain't giving anything back.
Give the Yankees price, and then give Stanton to the Dodgers.
That's an even wash, right? No, I don't know.
I'm talking about their salaries, right?
Yeah,
Price is making like $225 million a year. They can flip flop, and they both still. It doesn't affect their cap because basically
the Dodgers are doing just fine without.
Yeah,
G Stanton, and I didn't.
I don't look at
Stanton as an issue.
Right, but,
I don't.
But what I'm saying is,
when he's healthy, he produces.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, they have no need for Price, right?
The problem is that Neil was basically trying to suggest that the Yankees won't spend because they have these high priced players.
Trizzle.
And you have to understand something that for the Yankees is a choice. And when Steve Cohen officially becomes Mets owner. And if we don't know what he's going to do, we're all assuming, but if he starts throwing money around and all of a sudden the Mets are like in play for high-end players and they're just spending and the Yankees stay on their budget, all hell is going to break loose here in New York. You know that for sure, that all of a sudden the Yankees become the cheap team operating on a budget. Relative, of course, because $225 million payroll is not cheap. But if the other team in the city is outspending you and you're sticking to your budget, oh, yeah, that's going to wake up a lot of people.
Well, how far were the Mets away from the Yankees in payroll? We'll figure that out during the break. Y'all can tweet us.
It's definitely a distance, but it's probably like two. It's like two pitchers. Just to answer the question, Bart, that you had asked about payrolls. Because of the 60-game season, every payroll you look for is going to be prorated to 60-game season. So it's like when people say, oh, the Rays are here in the World Series with a $28 million payroll, that's not actually accurate. It's just the payroll because it's based on the 60-game season. The reality is, obviously, it's much higher. So the Yankees, during spring training, were upwards of, and this is Fangraphs has this, so they don't give you the actual total, but they were approaching $250 million in payroll for this season. The Dodgers, slightly below them, I think like 230 range, it looks like. They don't give you a number, like I said, it's just a graph. The Mets, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, eighth in payroll, equal with the Phillies, the Nationals, and the Cubs, and slightly ahead of the Angels. And the Mets are more, they're under $200 million. You know, like maybe like a 175-ish kind of range, 180 range.
There were?
So you're looking at a pretty, almost like $60 million, $70 million difference between the Mets and the Yankees.
I'm about to say, it's like you talk about the Mets, like, oh, they spend good money, they decent, they not the highest.
No, they're top 10. They spent top 10.
But it's like they spend their money on like a kitted out Camry. Like, oh, we got a new limited Camry coming out with leather down the middle. You know what I'm saying? It's not what they buy, it's how they buy it. You know what I mean? It's like when Audi decided to go into the supercars. Like, at the end of the day, bro, you're Audi. I'm not about to spend Ferrari money price for an Audi. And they be spending like Ferrari money for Audis, right? And I'm so tired of looking up, okay, we got Jed Lowry. They got LeMayu. It's not, come on, man. It makes your head hurt.
The Jed Lowry thing was definitely a foobar.
Okay, we got Diaz.
But you see,
they got Britton. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's just a constant reminder. You don't understand it, Alan, because you're a Yankees fan, and you always pick the right person.
Oh, don't give me that crap. I absolutely understand it.
But I'm saying you're always on the other side of it. You got nobody to vent about. You had Ellsbury. We can't find him.
Kobe Ellsbury.
That's about it.
He didn't do anything, but it didn't matter.
But he was so good, it didn't matter.
Ellsbury didn't play, and it was like, whatever. It doesn't matter. Now,
meanwhile, Cespedes is falling out of breaking tackles in a bore.
If there was a cap, Ellsbury would be like, what Joakim Noah was for the Knicks, where all of a sudden it's like, we can't do anything with this guy. And now we got to pay him to go away. And now that's on our cap for the next freaking 5 years. The gift just keeps on giving. Oh, my God. All right. Yeah, we got Blitz or Prevent to get to, so let's do it now.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
Why does this show go by so freaking fast? Like, we can't even like breathe the second. I wanted to give Spike a shout out because of all the singers we were talking about with amazing, beautiful voices.
Yeah.
He says Karen Carpenter, which, if you don't know the Carpenters, it's from the 70s.
I don't.
You know, we've only just begun.
Oh, okay,
right?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Listen to her. Her voice is it's almost impeccable. Mm. She had an amazing voice. Anyways, let's get into Blitz and Prevent. So, speaking of the World Series, speaking of baseball, you noticed as Kershaw pitched amazing, there was no decisions for Dave Roberts to make.
Yeah.
You go with your stud, and he was a stud. The Rays had arguably their best pitcher on the mound, Tyler Glass, now. He battled. Let's put it this way. He battled.
He was trying to pitch too hard, man.
Okay. So he gave up six runs with six walks, but four of the six runs came in the fifth inning. He threw a career-high 112 pitches, and you're thinking, Kevin Cash, like, you know, with Glass now, there's a bit of a shelf life, and you got the analytics tell you to move on, and Cash didn't. He stuck with his ace. Here we're back to this conversation again. Dusty Baker said he looked in the eyes of Zach Greinke, left him in the game. We've seen this decision. Robert said it about Kershaw in the NLCS as well. I saw him. I trust him with my gut. We're seeing this more and more. Kevin Cash said, just trust that he had plenty of stuff to keep us right there. The walks are definitely not ideal, but we didn't do a good job holding the runners on. We can't allow a double steal right there. As you remember, that play was a turning point. So, Bart, Blitz or Prevent? There's no question analytics get you through the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're seeing this year, managers prefer to go with baseball instincts, the gut, on some major decisions in the playoffs, and I'm all for it.
But you look at it, for a lot of it, though, it's a lot of old school guys, you know what I mean, that believe in the way that it was done, and they're using the analytics to help in their decision, but it's not the determining factor in their decision. And listen,
then why did the Yankees not keep Cole in the game instead of trying to stretch out Britton and Chapman?
Well, you notice I didn't say Booney. Booney's a new manager. He's not a guy that's managed for years.
Well, Cash and Booney are kind of from the same.
Yeah,
school.
That's true. That's true. But you know, the Geek Squad over there, you get more leeway over there. Like when Cashman says something to you, it's different from somebody from a Rays organization.
I just feel like the Yankees got to back off this stuff. They got to back off it. Maybe in the regular season it works, but in the postseason, you got to let your manager manage. And Cashman says he does. He says Booney's the guy during the game. We don't tell him what to do, but you too much on the numbers. All right, moving on. So Washington football team president Jason Wright told a radio station down in D.C. Yesterday, there's a good chance they will not have a new nickname for next season because there's just so many hurdles that need to be cleared. So we can expect Washington to remain a team known as football team for at least another year. So here's the Blitzer Prevent for you. Do we really need nicknames anyway? Some of the most iconic soccer teams in Europe don't have nicknames. They just use the city. Do we really, like, do we really need a nickname? What do you think?
I'm going to blitz that, and I'm going to take that. Hell yeah, we need nicknames, man. We got more swag than those other countries, man. Nicknames is a part of American fabric. This is America. We have nicknames. We have, like, things like the Syracuse Orange. We don't know what it is, but it sounds cool.
They stormed Normandy.
But there aren't any damn lakes in L.A.
But the lakes,
Utah.
See, but if you do your research, and people do the research, they go back. It goes back when they were part of Minneapolis Lakers, and they left. They left in the middle of the night, like the Baltimore Ravens, who used to be the Cleveland Browns. So they kept the name. That's why they called the Lakers. They should be the Los Angeles Ocean.
Surf.
Or the Los Angeles Burns.
I know you were trying. You were trying there. You were trying for
I was
something.
Reaching, I was reaching. I was reaching.
I mean, there's a, you we can know, do a whole spot on nicknames and just how pathetic nicknames
just
are.
It.
In sports, let's be reality. Come on. Really think about it for a minute.
49ers.
Does a nickname really freaking matter? Right. Does it matter? I think it's cooler to say Green Bay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Certain ones are
Dallas,
better to
that's
say.
That's cool.
Some are better than that. But New York, you can't say New York without the Jets.
It ain't New York. The football teams, one is East Rutherford. The other one's Florham Park.
Oh, sure. So I guess should we hold organizations accountable to not steal the names and steal cities, right? Yeah. Like for years, the Pistons were the Detroit Pistons, but they were in
Auburn Hills.
Mm-hmm. So let's force teams that have to claim their real place.
Now you're feeling me. Mm. If you're representing the city, be in the damn city.
So really, this is great. This is great for New York fans because we got the New York Buffalo Bills. So
Buffalo.
We got a winner. We got a winner.
Yes. And I got my quarterback. That's the guy I always wanted.
Y'all can keep those East Rutherford Giants.
The Western New York football team.
Oh,
all right, last but not least, and we'll make this quick, I promise. So the Patriots slipped under 500 for the first time this deep into the season since 2002. We mentioned that already. Cam Newton, on his weekly spot on EEI, said there's no need to press the panic button, no need to start reinventing the wheel. We have all the answers we need in that locker room. So the Patriots lost to the Broncos 18-12 at home, and that was a bit of a surprise. But remember, they had just two practices over a two-week span because of the COVID-19 test positives that they had. So Cam pointed that out and just said there are some things that are going on, but there's no excuses. So Blitzer Prevent, Bart, and I heard you talk about this on KJZ this morning, which is why I brought it up.
Yeah.
Why does Cam have to explain this?
Because
the Pats always start slow, and as we just mentioned, they've gone through a lot of transition and haven't had a lot of practice.
What about we're on the Buffalo, we're on the Cincinnati? Like, we've heard those statements been made in the Patriots organization, but it's only because Cam Newton is a loquacious young man that's braggadocious. He's not one of these quiet, meek guys. He's a guy that's a big personality. So people can't wait. They already have those built-in, reasons why they hate him. And then Bill Belichick said, man, he's the hardest worker. He's here first. He's going last. And all they see is the hair, the wild outfits, and him dancing. And they can't wait to criticize this young man and not really judging him on his merits and how he goes about his business outside of what the narrative has been before they got here. Bill Belichick ain't going to lie for nobody. So if he tells you this guy's one of the hardest workers he's ever been around, hell, you should give him the benefit of the doubt. And I thought he sounded like a damn leader saying all the right things.
That.
We're not going to panic. Why would we panic? We one game behind our division. We only one game under 500, and we had a team that had COVID. Hell, I had COVID, and I couldn't even breathe, and I'm sitting up here trying to run and come back for you guys. And I took a pay cut. So what the hell are you talking about? Y'all better show some damn respect.
I like that take. I think the Patriots in December, it'll be a completely different conversation.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.